You know, we're working our way through the New Testament. Those of you who are new, last year we read and preached through the whole Bible, and this year we're reading and preaching through the New Testament. And if you haven't started with that or dropped out, you can jump back in. We're in the book of Acts. You know, when I started that, I thought, what am I going to do if the high holy days sort of don't hit the right time? But speaking of divine timing, last Easter, not this past one, but the one before, we were in the book of Kings and the story of Elijah and the coming of the chariot at Easter time, and that worked out really well. And then this past Easter, it was the story of the prodigal son, the son who came home, and how to welcome our loved ones home. And that I preached on Easter. In fact, several of you parents said, your kids turned to you who hadn't been in church in a while and said, did you put him up to preaching on that topic today? It's just the way it came. And here's the miracle. This is Pentecost Sunday, Mother's Day. And lo and behold, the reading is Acts chapter 2, which is the story of Pentecost. Is that a nice divine gift? So I want to merge the two, Pentecost and Mother's Day. The book of Acts starts where Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts, he says, I told you in my first book, O Theophilus, about Jesus and his teaching and his living among us and his dying and rising again. That's how the book of Acts begins. And that Jesus, after he rose again, tarried for 40 days and showed himself to numbers of people. And then on the 40th day, he ascended into heaven. And then Acts chapter 1 goes on and say they needed to replace Judas Iscariot so that there would be the 12 followers. And so they drew lots, and Matthias was the one who was picked thereafter. And then Acts chapter 2 begins with the disciples and others in the upper room, an upper room. We don't know where it was exactly. And on that first Pentecost, the wind came and the Spirit came as a mighty wind among them. And it says that the Spirit came upon them as of tongues of fire. And what we know is that Pentecost, 50 days, Penta, 50 days after Easter, was also corresponded to the Jewish festival of weeks, which was 50 days after Passover. And in the Jewish tradition, there are three obligatory holy days that Jewish people from around the world needed to come to Jerusalem. One was Passover. The second was the Festival of Weeks. And so there were God-fearing Jewish persons gathered in Jerusalem. And as you read the text, they're from Media, from Elam, from Arabia, from Rome, from modern-day Turkey, where the group who's going to Italy have taken a ship across to Ephesus and other places. So there were these persons gathered from around the world, and so how are they going to hear the good news in their own language except the Spirit came and spoke in their own tongue? And so people from this part, that part, all around the world heard the good news of Jesus Christ in their own language. As I read that this time, I said, I wonder how the church in Rome started. I don't believe Paul started it. He wrote to them. I don't believe Peter started it. I believe it was some of these persons who were inspired and filled with the Holy Spirit went back to wherever they were and started churches that then the apostles came and became instructors for and taught them. So that's the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's the birth of the church. And then we come to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, which is our text for today. Recently, I was speaking to a young seminarian who's about to graduate from Asbury Seminary, and he said he was having a conversation with somebody else who'd started a new church. And that person said to him, if you were starting a new church, what would you use for your basis of your new church? A good question. He said, I think I would use Jesus. And he turned to the guy and said, what did you use? He said, we built our church on Acts 2, 42 through 47. And that's a good point. And this is sort of the basis of the church. And what I'd like us to do today is you evaluate how we're doing at Trinity. There are four or five elements here that ought to be in every church, whether it's a new church or a church that's been around for a while. These are the essential elements that the early church had. So with that introduction, let me say this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Now, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That is the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Old New Testament hasn't been formulated yet, but the gospel writers. So that was the first thing, the apostles' teaching. to the fellowship, getting together, caring for one another, to the breaking of bread, the Eucharist, and gathering in formal worship like we do each Sunday, and to prayer. Now, if you read this carefully, you'll see that this first sentence is then commented on in the following sentences. So each element is then spoken about in greater detail. So, example, everyone was filled with awe and many wonders, and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. So that when you do the apostles' teachings, when you devote yourself to that, then miraculous wonders and awe. And then fellowship. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, this is not an advocacy for communism, selling everything you have, because we know the early church had their own homes and their own places of worship and their own possessions. But it was like the church had a great, gigantic yard sale, like we do here sometimes. So they sold many of their possessions, some of their possessions and their goods, and just as we do here, gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and that's that collective worship together, which one needs to do. And in addition to gathering together, they broke bread in their homes and fellowship groups, Sunday school classes, sharing groups, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So that's our scripture. And the title of the sermon isn't exactly what's in the scripture, in the bulletin. The title of the sermon, well, bring it up, would you stand? Yeah, six things our mothers want for us and the Holy Spirit wants for the church. And so I want to talk about that. Before I get into the sermon, I want to share with you something funny happened on the way to church today for me. I've been fighting this cold that I got in Fort Worth, Texas, and I've been trying to get over it. And I've been trying to rest a little bit and take some stuff. And so last night, about 7:45, I took two Advil PM and went to bed. And I slept like a baby. And I woke up this morning, I must have been a little disoriented, and I thought, oh, it's okay, it's 5:30, I need to get hustling around, and And I got all my preparation for the sermon and all this sort of thing done that I do, and I was starting out the door, and I noticed the clock on the stove said it's 6:45 instead of 7:45, which I thought it was, which I leave to go to church at 7:45. You all don't get here that early, but I do. And I thought, I wonder why we didn't set that clock right on the stove. And then I looked at the microwave clock, and then I looked at my watch. I said, I'm an hour early. And I thought, what am I going to do? So I went out on the back porch. It was a little warm, but I sat on the back porch, and I had this beautiful time where I just prayed for you all. And your images, your faces, your memories over these past 14 years came to my mind. Children I'd baptized, people I'd married, people I'd been with through the loss of a loved one, challenges I know many of you are going through, jobs, marriage, relationships, loneliness, joys. And it was just this sweet time of thanking God for you and how you've enriched my life. It was just an extraordinary time. It was Mother's Day, as you know, and I thought, of course, about Mom and Dad. And as I've told you, Mom's favorite bird was a cardinal. And lo and behold, two cardinals came and perched on now you're going to think I'm losing my mind, are you? Perched on the bird feeder, a male and female. And I take some consolation in the fact that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And so I thought, yeah, there's Mom and Dad. They're kind of here with me today, kind of checking on me, making sure. You felt that closeness to people who've gone on, haven't you? And I prayed that the Holy Spirit would come today, like that mighty wind or like a soft wind. And right then the wind kicked up, and the willow tree that I planted in Mom's memory, it seemed to catch the breezes most dramatically. Don't you feel the Spirit's presence here? Don't you feel the presence of somebody you know and love who've gone on? It was a sweet time. It prepared me for coming here to be with you. So let's look at these six things our mothers want for us and the Holy Spirit wants for the church. Number one, My mom wanted me to learn the basics. And the Holy Spirit wants the church to be devoted to the apostles' teachings. Mom gave me a book when I was in the junior in high school, 10 Great Ideas That Changed the World. I still have that book. But she and Dad didn't give us everything imaginable. They didn't have everything, but they gave us the basics. That's what you want. That's what the church wants. The basics, the apostles' teaching, the scriptures. And if you read chapter 2, you'll see that Peter's preaching was essentially the heart of the apostles' creed. You didn't get to see this last Sunday unless you were at 11 o'clock service, but the children's program was the children took each part of the creed and they sang about them, but they had 12 or 15 of the fourth and fifth graders do commentary on each of these seven parts of the creed. I want to tell you, our kids nailed every one of them. I mean, they got them. One kid quoted Jesus' words in Aramaic from the cross. It was powerful. And I said, God, this is so good. Our kids are getting the essentials of the faith. I hope you're devoting yourself to the apostles' teaching. Are you? To the basics, learning the basics. Second, Mom wanted us just to get along, us boys, a fellowship, this coming together, how to care for one another. This past Thursday, I went into the hospital to see some people in the hospital, and I saw this person who's a single parent now, and she'd just gotten off the phone with one of her children, and she was weepy, and so it was a good time for me to come, and she just poured out her heart how hard it is being a single mom. And then she said this. She said, but I've got these four, and she named them friends in the Lifeline Singles that are sustaining her. Fellowship. I hope you're extending fellowship to somebody, that you're caring for each other. Today, I'm going to fix Jan's salmon. She likes the salmon I fix in this green egg that we have. And the way I fix it, I know you're going to get mouth-watering delicious on this when I tell you, but I used to go down to Ballyhoo's and get their cedar plank salmon. Anybody ever get that? Isn't it good? Well, I finally asked them after 20 times of getting that. I said, how do you get this? They said, well, we go to Lowe's. Ken, I mentioned Lowe's. Is that good? Yeah. I would go to Lowe's, and we buy these cedar shake shingles. And I'd take them home, and then you soak them in water. And then you get the salmon with the skin taken off, and you put that on, you spray a little butter on there, salt and pepper. And then I put this Greek, isn't this good? Greek Cavanaugh seasoning on there. And you put that on the green egg for about 20 minutes, and it's just the most wonderful thing you can imagine. But when I put in the charcoal and light it, I notice when the charcoal thing that lights, if all the charcoal is together, that catches fire. But if there's one charcoal piece over here that isn't there, it doesn't have a chance. And neither do you. And neither do I. Fellowship is when we come together. When we come together. Caring and sharing. I'm thrilled that in our church we have two funds. The Caring Hands Fund is for when people within our congregation run into a financial snag and people can be helped with that. And another fund, Helping Hands Fund, is for people in the community. Thank you for your generosity to those living into the New Testament church. Number three, share a meal or Eucharist. There's something in my family, maybe it's just being on the farm, but to sit at Mom's table and have a meal, it's like Holy Communion. I've told you this, but I'll tell you again, so some of you weren't around when I told it before. My mom was diagnosed several years ago with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, on March 29th. And she died on May 29th. It was very quick. Thank God I flew up to be with the family on April 20th or so. And a part of what we did was all the boys and Mom and Dad gathered. Mom sat in her favorite rocking chair, and we all gathered around, and we had Holy Communion. And there are three parts of communion. You look on the past, and we remembered the wonderful times we had with Mom. And we celebrated the presence of Christ in the presence, and we celebrated His presence there, even though we couldn't understand why Mom had to have this terrible illness. But He was there with us, as He's here today. And we looked to the future when we would all be gathered around the table again with Mom. Sharing the meal. In the first service, Donna Bo was here and Bill. Donna's had a brain tumor. She had it 11 or 12 years ago when I first came. We prayed with her and she got through that, and then it reappeared recently and it looked dark. But she's been here the last two Sundays, and she came and took Holy Communion here with the help of her beloved husband. There's something special about the presence of Christ and what happens when people are gathered here. I hope you're in fellowship and you take the communion where we worship together. And then number four is renewing your strength through prayer. Whenever I'd be home, Mom would say, "Now, are you getting enough nourishment? Are you getting enough nourishment?" She wanted me to renew my strength. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, is renew our strength through prayer. I'd like for you to just pray with me right now, whether you close your eyes or open them. Let's pray together. Oh, Holy Spirit, renew our strength. You know what's on our hearts. Help us to let some things go. Help us to hold on to you. Help us to give our loved ones over to you and still kind of be with them. Be all that we need you to be. Bless those who are in special need today. Come, Holy Spirit, in the quietness of Elijah or in the power of a mighty rushing wind as you did on Pentecost. Breathe into this church. Breathe into each of us the power of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you gain strength when you pray? Let's move on. Number five, savor the sacred. They were filled with awe. When they devoted themselves to the teaching, when they gathered in fellowship, when they broke bread together, either in the church or in their homes, and they were filled with awe and they saw signs and wonders. I said in our Bible study on Wednesday, I said, I think we do a lot here at Trinity like the early church, but I don't know that we do a lot with awe and signs and wonders. And Pidge Boyles, bless her heart, said, "Dan, I disagree. When I'm in church and I look at the things on the screen and when I experience the music and when I pray, I have a sense of awe and signs and wonders." And I think she's right. This coming Wednesday, you know that we're having Team Hoyt here. And as I thought about years ago when we first saw the video, I thought, that's a sign of awe. And I'm grateful that Trinity offers this to the community and we're inviting people. I hope you'll invite a lot of people. I want us to see again this video that we showed several years ago. Many of you didn't see it, and it's worth seeing again. You know the story, and the paper on Saturday had a big article on the back page of the Saturday's paper. And they said, not only did it show how to overcome obstacles, but it showed how to just do away with some of the unhappy stereotypes about the disabled persons. So watch this about father and son who've overcome a lot with marathons and triathlons. Something about the unconditional love of a parent that fills you with awe, doesn't it? I hope you'll invite a lot of people Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Then the final one, number 6, invite folks home. Scripture says the Lord added to their number daily. I know God wants to add to the number daily, and He needs you and me to invite people. For some reason, God has given this church the awesome responsibility with all ages, but particularly young families, it seems. Yesterday I was out after the wedding, and there were hundreds of people with the flag football. And so all the more reason why I'm convinced we need to do this expansion of the education wing for the nursery. And I hope if you haven't sent in your commitment card to that, you will. It's so important. I asked God, why are you entrusting us with this? And then last Sunday, as the children nailed the Apostles' Creed, I said, maybe that's it. God can trust us. I hope He can. How you doing with these things? Let's look at them again, all six of them. Learn the basics, the Apostles' teaching. Get along, fellowship. Share a meal, the Eucharist. Renew your strength with prayer. Savor the sacred, a sense of awe. Invite folks home. Would you pray with me? Almighty and loving God, this is home. This is a special place. And we find renewed strength here, and we find renewed strength with you in a vertical relation, and we find renewed strength in a horizontal relation in this sort of riddle of life that somehow you've put us together with people. So bless our fellowship and our service of you. Come, Holy Spirit, on this Pentecost Sunday. We open ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.